Taylor and Elise. Thank you, Taylor, for helping us out here this morning with the song leading. He always does such a great job. We appreciate each and every one of you. I was off for a couple of weeks, did some traveling, got to see some wonderful things, but you're wonderful. You're a wonderful thing to see. And I'm glad I'm seeing you here today. Occasionally, I look back through all of the sermons that I preached here, and I noticed something. I have never preached specifically on this passage, Mark 16, 15 and 16. I've referred to it many, many times, of course. Never preached on it directly, and I was afraid I might be in danger of losing my license to preach in the Lord's church. That is a joke, in case you were wondering. So I thought I'd talk about it today. You know, Jesus, at the end of each of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he tells his disciples that they need to go and preach. That they need to go out into the world and take the message of the gospel of salvation to the lost and dying world. And being among the last recorded words of Jesus in this world, you have to know that those are very important words. That the call, the commission, the command to go and take the gospel to the world is a very important one. It's what Jesus would have us to do as his followers, as his disciples. And this call, this commission, this command is repeated here in Mark chapter 16, and I'm just going to read specifically these two verses, verses 15 and 16, where he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. But he who has disbelieved shall be condemned." Those are very, very important words. Words that we need to understand. My role, my function in the Lord's church is to preach the gospel, teach the gospel to people. To both saved and to the lost. And I take that responsibility very seriously. But it's not just for me, it's for all of us. We are to share the gospel with all of creation, with everyone. They need to hear the gospel. They need to obey the gospel. Their souls' salvation depend on it. So for a few moments today, I want to talk about this passage, and specifically those middle words there, "he that believes and is baptized shall be saved." I'm going to talk about them this morning. I'm going to preach another sermon next week about this, but specifically those words. But beginning here in verse 15, he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." Now that is an all-encompassing and very, very wide job scope. You go everywhere and you preach the gospel to everybody. Gospel, of course, is the good message, the good news about Jesus, about his teaching, about his death for our sins, about his resurrection, about his reign as Lord and Savior, about the opportunity that we all have to be saved through his sacrifice and through his message. That's the gospel. And it includes a lot of things. And we need to preach that gospel. We need to preach that gospel to everybody. The message of Jesus Christ. They need that message in order to be saved. They need to believe that message. They need to respond to that message, because if they don't believe that message and respond to that message, they will not be saved. They will stand condemned in the end. That's how important this is. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. And we do that here in our little community and elsewhere where we go. We try to tell people about Jesus. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. I cannot stress to you enough how important it is that you believe this message. That you believe in Jesus Christ and that you're baptized in his name. I cannot stress strongly enough. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to put it in any more clear terms than what Jesus himself has put it. But I'm going to try to do my best. People's souls are on the line. Their eternal state. It's a difference between eternal life and eternal damnation. I want you to think strongly about who it is who is saying this. It's not me saying this. These are the words of Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah. He died. He had already died for the sins of the world when he said these words. He'd already gone through that cruel and terrible experience. And he had, by the power of God and by the might of the goodness of God, he had been raised from the dead, and he stood before his disciples and he says, this is what you need to do. And that marvelous experience to see, to encounter the resurrected Jesus. And he says to them, this is the takeaway. This is the point. This is what has to happen. You've got to go and tell people about me, and the people who believe in me and who are baptized will be saved, and those who don't will be condemned. That's who's saying these words. Jesus. Now these words here, he who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. Those are the ones that we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about those words right there. Because we need to know what they mean. I want you to think about it again. Of all the things that Jesus could be saying, having died for the sins of the world and been resurrected and to stand before his disciples, of all the things he could have said, of all of the commissions that he could have given, this is what he said. You need to go and tell people about me, and the people who believe in me and who are baptized will be saved. That's what he says. What does that mean? What do those words mean? Are they terribly complicated words? Are they big words? Are they confusing to you in any way? Well, you know, it's interesting. There's several words there. What? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 words. 11 words. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. Actually, it's even simpler in Greek. It's only 5 words. 5 words there. I don't often talk about the Greek, the underlying language in which the scriptures were written here, the New Testament was written. I'm going to today. I hope you don't mind. Because you need to know what these 5 words mean. The whole world needs to know it. But I only got you to work with this morning, so please pay attention. Hapistuses, pistuses, kai baptistes, sothesite. Let's start with the second word. The word there, pistuses, is a verb that's been made into a noun. And when you do that, it's called a participle. The verb means to believe. It's the verb of believing, the act of believing. But when you turn it into a participle, it becomes a noun referring to a person who believes. And in English, when we make participles, we put ing on them, believing, a believing person. In this case, it's in the past tense, the aorist tense. So it's talking about somebody who has accomplished the act of believing. They have done it. It is in the past. They are now, in the present, a believing person because they have become one in the past. They have believed. The second word, or the third word there, kai, is a simple conjunction. A conjunction is a word that ties things together. And this person needs to be a believing person, someone who has believed, but they also need to be something else. And baptistes, again, past tense, aorist. Again, a participle, it's a noun. It refers to somebody who has done something. They have acted. In this case, in the passive tense, because they have had someone act upon them, they have had someone do something to them, they have been baptized in the past. It has been accomplished. A person who has believed and a person who has been baptized. These first four words are a unit. They all go together. They are preceded by ha, which is the article. And grammatically, all four of these words, a person who has believed and who has been baptized. It describes one person. One person who has done both of these things. And they are tied together by kai, by and. And you can't separate them. When I was a kid, one day we were playing, and somebody was riding their bike, and we were messing around, and I grabbed hold of their bike, and they kept going, and I got my sleeve caught on the bike, and I kept going, and I was being drug along because they wouldn't stop. See, we were going along together because we were tied together. Well, kai is the kind of word that ties together. Person who has believed and who has been baptized. And that's why there's just that one little article there, ha. The person, the one person who has believed and that person also has been baptized. That's what those words mean. I can't tell you any more clearly than that. Well, what about this person who has believed and who has been baptized, who has done both of those things? What about them? Well, they'll be saved. Now, the last word there is an active indicative word. It's talking about something that is true of them. It indicates a state or status for them. An active status, one that exists. And the tense of the verb is future. You see, it's what happens after the past. In the past, they believed, and they were baptized. Well, what happens after that? What happens following the fact that they believed and were baptized? They'll be saved. That's what those words mean. This is the result. The result of believing and being baptized. And that is what Jesus says. And that is what I believe. And that is what I preach, because that's exactly what he told us to do. Go and preach. People who believe and are baptized, believe the message of the gospel and are baptized, they'll be saved. That's the truth. That's the gospel. That's what Jesus says. Now, there are people in the world who don't agree with that. Well, what are you talking about? They don't agree with that. It's what it says. Well, there are people in the world, in the religious world specifically, who have a problem with the baptism part. They're all down with the believe part. They get behind the believing part all day long, but the baptism part, they got a problem with. And there's lots of reasons why they have a problem with it. It's mostly their theology, a line of reasoning or thinking that they have accepted. And so when you quote Mark 16 and verse 16 to them, they have to try to explain why the baptism part isn't as important as the believing part. They have to do that. I want to engage in a little exercise this morning to explain to you the problem that I have with their problem. That in order to come up with the idea, other than what we've already read, that he who believes and is baptized should be saved, in order to come up with any other view, you have to add a not. You have to add a not. Somewhere in the passage, maybe two. And there are different views of Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, that add knots. For instance, there are people who really, this is what they believe. He who has not believed and has been baptized shall be saved. Now, he said, that's crazy. Who would argue, who would say that you don't have to believe? Who would add a knot there? That seems like a terrible place to add a knot. Well, that's really terrible to add a knot anywhere. But why would you say not believe? You say, nobody believes that. Nobody would. But there are people who believe that. There are people who argue that you can take a baby and you can baptize that baby. That baby doesn't believe. That baby doesn't know anything. It doesn't even know what's going on. But you need to baptize that baby because... Well, why? He doesn't believe. Well, later on they'll believe, or someone will stand in their place and believe for them, and that's not what Jesus says. The idea that a person can have baptism performed upon them as a child and faith is not required is not true. It's not according to the teaching of Jesus Christ. The truth is that children, babies, are not responsible for their sins until they get old enough to know what they're doing. In order to be saved, you need to be saved. And you don't need to be saved until you're lost. And you're not lost until you commit sin, and you don't commit sin until you know what you're doing. And that's the teaching of the Scriptures, but I won't belabor the point. Here's my point here. This is an alternative that people put a knot in there. You don't have to believe. Well, yes, you do. You have to be old enough and aware enough to make a conscious choice of faith in order to be saved. Some people put a knot elsewhere. He who has believed and has been baptized shall not be saved. Well, who would do that? Who would say that you, even if you believe and are baptized, you won't be saved? Well, atheists would say that. They don't believe in salvation, eternal salvation, spiritual salvation. But you know, sometimes, because of our own doubt, our own lack of faith, we sometimes question our own salvation. Say, I don't know if I'm saved. Well, why don't you know? Do you believe in the gospel? Well, yeah. Have you been baptized? Well, yeah. Why wouldn't you be saved? And I understand that you need to be faithful to the gospel, of course. You need to be living the life of Christ, yes. But here's the point. Jesus came and died for our sins, and he put forth this beautiful, wonderful message. And if you believe it and you're baptized, you need to accept and believe in your own salvation. Don't put the knot in there. But here's another knot. He who has not believed and has not been baptized shall be saved. Well, you don't have to do either one of those things. According to some people, we say, well, who would argue that? Well, we call them universalists. Universalists. Now, these are people who believe that everybody's saved no matter what they do. Does that make sense? Well, in order to make Jesus say that, you got to put two knots. You got to tie up his words with two knots. And that doesn't make any sense, but that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, if you don't believe, you'll be condemned. You will be condemned. Universalism is not true. It's not true. But here's the last alternative where a knot gets put in here, and this is the one that I want to especially talk about. He who has believed and has not been baptized should be saved. Is that true? Is that true? By what audacity by what authority would anyone dare put a knot in Jesus' words? You know, that's what the devil did to Eve. He said, you shall not surely die. Don't put knots into God's words. And yet that is what many, many of your friends and neighbors believe, because that's what they've been told. And I can tell you, I have on many occasions, I have had people tell me, you don't have to be baptized to be saved. Well, the only way that you can say that is to put a knot right there. And that is not acceptable. You need to believe in the message of Jesus Christ, and you need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ in order to be saved, because that is what Jesus said. This is what Jesus said. Now, I'm not trying to be difficult. I'm not trying to be unduly harsh. I'm trying to fulfill my responsibility to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what Jesus says, and he says it in words that are so simple and so clear and so plain, he who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. And the rest of the New Testament is in keeping with this concept. Everywhere you read about people believing, you read about them being baptized in response to the gospel. On the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, 41, on that day where Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. It says that those who received his word, in verse 41, those who received his word. You know what that means? To receive a word, it means to believe it, to believe the message. Those who received his word were baptized. And there were added that day about 3,000 souls. They believed, and they were baptized. And when they believed, and they were baptized, they were added to the Lord's church, and they were saved. That's what the passage says. Those who received his word were baptized. How many people received the word and weren't baptized? None. Because if you receive a word that says, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins, in order to receive that word, you have to do what the word says. Those who received the word were baptized. Acts chapter 8 and verse 12, but when they believe Philip, Philip goes up to Samaria. He preaches the good news about the kingdom of God. And those who believed his preaching of the good news, the gospel about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Who were baptized? The people who believed. Who believed? The people who were baptized. Acts chapter 8 and verse 36, he goes out into the desert. He encounters the Ethiopian eunuch. He preaches to him about Jesus, and for whatever reason, the eunuch gets this idea from the preaching about Jesus that he needs to be baptized. Because, you know, if you preach about Jesus, that's what happens. You tell people they need to be baptized, and that's what the eunuch got out of it. He said, you know what, here's some water. What keeps me from being baptized? Is that what you get out of it? I've been talking about Jesus. Eunuch, what are you talking about baptism for? I've been talking about Jesus and believing in Jesus. Well, because believing in Jesus includes the necessity, the importance, the essence of responding to the gospel message, which means you get yourself baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And that's what the eunuch got out of the teaching about Jesus. And that's what he wanted to do. And he says, why can't I be baptized? And Philip says, if you believe, you can be. Because you've got to do both of those things, see? If you believe, you believe in the message, you may. Oh, that people were hearing a message as clear and clear as the message of Philip in all of the churches of the land. Would that they were hearing a message that clear. So clear that at the end of the message, everybody stood up and said, you know what? I need to be baptized. What do I have to do? Why can't I be baptized? And the message, if you believe, you can be. You may. Acts chapter 16, verse 15, when Paul had preached the gospel there in Philippi. And she and the members of her household were baptized. Lydia and her household. She invited us to their home. And she said this, if you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. Really thought about this passage in this way before. How would you consider her a believer? Why would you consider her a believer? At what point do you become identified as a believer? What's the transition point from being someone who cannot be recognized as a believer to someone who can be recognized as a believer? When they respond to the message that they say they believe in, and they're baptized. That's what they become. Again, in Acts chapter 18 and verse 8, Crispus, the synagogue leader, and his entire household believed in the Lord, and many of the Corinthians who heard Paul believed, and were baptized, because that's what you do when you respond to the gospel. You believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, repent, and are baptized. This is what you do. Acts 19, verses 4 through 5, Paul said to those fellows he met on the road out there traveling on the way to Ephesus, he meets them out there, and he finds out that they are disciples of John the Baptist, that they are believers in the message of John the Baptist, and they're a little confused about the role of Jesus, and And Paul says to them in Acts 19, verse 4, he says, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe on the one who was to come after him, that is Jesus. And on hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Isn't that remarkable? They've been baptized before, been baptized under John's baptism, but it had not been in the name of Jesus. It had not been in recognition of the role and capacity of Jesus, and so they did not have faith in Jesus, and so their baptism was not sufficient. And so Paul says, you know, you need to believe in Jesus. And I guess they could have said, well, okay, now we believe in Jesus and we will retroactively apply our prior baptism to now our faith in Jesus. And it doesn't work that way, does it? You need to be baptized in the name of Jesus. You need to be baptized as a consequence of your faith in Jesus. And that's what they did. They believed in Jesus. And they, when they heard the message about Jesus, they were baptized again. They were baptized at this point in the name of the Lord Jesus. I don't want to belabor the point too much. I just want to say once again that the gospel tells us how we can be saved through Jesus Christ. And we need it. We need it so badly. We need salvation. We need forgiveness. We need to be made right with God. And the only way that we can do that is through Jesus Christ and through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And those who believe that gospel and who are baptized accordingly are saved. Question for you this morning is, do you believe it? We've looked at many examples of people who did a very simple thing. They believed in the message of Jesus Christ and they were baptized. And I'm asking you, do you believe the message? And if you believe a message that says, believe and be baptized, and you really believe that message, what are you going to do about it this morning? If you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, then I'm asking you to do that. And I would suggest to you that from the words that we've read and the consideration that we've had, that the Lord is asking you. He's asking you to believe in Him and to be baptized for your own salvation. And if you want to do that this morning, come forward and say that you will as we stand and sing this song.